Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, good evening. This is Dr. Gerald Piper with our Monday night session on Medical Frontiers. And over the last month and a half or so, we have been talking about COVID-19. And tonight, we are going to continue talking about COVID-19, but especially in the obese patient who develops an infection with COVID-19. They are at higher risk of complications, higher risk of death. And we have, as a guest this evening on Medical Frontiers, he's no stranger to Medical Frontiers. He's been on a number of times. He's a bariatric surgeon, and his name is Dr. Tunch Axahirli. And Dr. Axahirli is connected with the Allegheny Health Network Bariatric and Metabolic Institute. He does his work primarily at Jefferson Hospital, but is intimately involved with the Bariatric Institute. Welcome back to Medical Frontiers, Dr. Axahirli. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. Tunch, tell us a little bit about how this virus and the pandemic has influenced the work that you folks do at the Bariatric and Metabolic Institute.
So as soon as the governor instituted the stay-at-home order, the hospitals had to comply and cut down on the elective surgeries. And by doing that, they would free up, obviously, the healthcare system and make more beds available if needed. And so how that affected us is that primarily all of bariatric patients are labeled elective surgery. So doing the stay-at-home order actually just made us kind of stop everything in our tracks and basically stop the surgeries.
And so when were you able to crank that up again? And I know you told me before we went on the air that you have started doing some surgery again. When were you able to do that?
So I still was doing, during the whole shutdown, I was doing emergency bariatric cases and cases that, needed to be done in an emergent fashion or urgent fashion. But I would say as of last week, we kind of had a chance to rev things up and give patients the opportunity to come in and get their surgeries done. And it has a lot to do with AHN being prepared and having the equipment needed, the PPEs, and staff. And because of that, it gave us the opportunity to start revving up the system.
Okay. And you were telling me that there's a bit of a backlog with patients now because of the patients that you weren't able to take care of surgically over the last 6 or 8 weeks, they have to be brought into the system along with the ones that were already scheduled to have the surgery at this time. So that puts a little bit of stress on your surgical schedule, does it not?
Yes, it does. So if you look at the total time frame, it was about a month and a half of time that we couldn't do anything. And in that time period, you know, some of these bariatric patients would have to wait 3 to 6 months to get their surgery done. And in that time, they have to do all their, you know, the clearances, their proper testing, their EGDs. And they have to wait that process, and now they're up for surgery, and then you tell them they have to wait. And so we had patients that were booked for all of April and, you know, the beginning of May. And so that was around probably, I'd say, anywhere from 40 to 45 cases that now we're trying to squeeze into our already busy schedules. But, you know, for the most part, patients are very understanding, and they realize that there was a serious problem going on in our country, in the world, and they're ready to have their surgery, even if it's at 4 or 5 o'clock at night or in the evening.
Sure. Okay, tell us a little bit about the seriousness of an obese patient when they contract the COVID-19 virus. Why are they at a higher risk for complications and even death than somebody would say has a normal BMI?
So, I mean, that's a very, very good question. You know, obesity in this country affects roughly 80 million of us in this country alone. And if you talk about overweight, that brings it up to probably 95 million people in this country. And with the obesity, these patients carry a lot of comorbid conditions, those being obstructive sleep apnea, hypertension, hyperlipidemia. And these inflammatory processes lead them to a higher risk of having very, very bad outcomes when they get the infection. And we even saw that with patients that would get the regular influenza. If you were in a higher BMI, you tended not to do that well, or you spent more days in the hospital or more days on the ventilator. And we're seeing that same thing that we saw with influenza with COVID-19.
So that's not really surprising, is it? Because obesity, like you say, there are higher incidence of hypertension, kidney disease, pulmonary disease with sleep apnea, et cetera, and hypertension. So it's sort of all the ingredients that can make for a complicated case whenever they get sick in any number of ways, either, like you say, with a COVID-19 or the regular annual flu, or if they develop community-acquired pneumonia or what have you, they're at greater risk with those particular diseases. It's just the way it is. So if we can control the obesity, we can control a lot of those comorbidities, and that should be what we need to be made aware of and take steps to get that obesity under control. So we need to take a break. And this is Medical Frontiers. We're talking about COVID-19 and the influence of obesity, especially in our country, with patients who would happen to acquire COVID-19 infection. Give us a call at 866-391-1020. We would love to hear your story. If you have had COVID-19, if you have survived that, we'd like to hear your story, especially if you are in the group of patients who have a higher BMI. 866-391-1020. Give us a call. We'll be back. Okay, we are back on Medical Frontiers. This is Dr. Gerald Pfeiffer, and we're with Dr. Tunç Aksahirli tonight. He's a bariatric surgeon connected with the Allegheny Health Network Bariatric and Metabolic Institute. And we're talking tonight about obesity as our central subject, but also how obesity affects a patient if they happen to contract the COVID-19 virus. So give us a call at 866-391-1020. And Doctor, we were talking off air about how this is most probably going to change how we practice medicine in some respects, as far as not having to go see the physician personally and maybe do telehealth from your home or from your work place of work or what have you. Speak a little bit about that. You said that you've had this discussion with some of your colleagues at the hospital.
Yeah, so I think some of the good things that will come out, if there is any, from this pandemic is the fact that we're able to use different modalities to see patients and treat them. You know, a lot of doctors now are implementing the telehealth. And in speaking with some of my friends at the hospital, I asked them, would you continue doing telehealth once things are back to normal? And they said, most definitely. Reason being is that if you look at some individuals that are working from home and have kids or working at work, and they can take 15 minutes and just get on the telephone or a televisit on their iPhone and do a visit with their doctor without leaving their house or their kids or work, it becomes very convenient for that individual, and we can get majority of the things done. Now, that being said, if you're a surgeon and you have a surgical problem or colorectal or orthopedic, some patients do need to be in the office and do need to be examined. So for those people, but for routine visits or medication changes or kind of like a how you doing or how does that medication work out for you, those are very, very beneficial for the televisits, I think, and people will continue that.
Okay, we would love to hear your story. Give us a call at 866-391-1020. And remember, if you need to have an appointment with an AHN physician, you can do that through 412-DOCTORS, 412-DOCTORS, or you can make an appointment on the Internet by going to ahn.org. Tell us a little bit about what you think we can do. How can we become more aware as citizens of this great country, be more aware of the effects of obesity and get obesity under control? And Rob asked me on a little teaser we did before the show about the genetic predisposition. And I told him that it's my impression that if you have obese parents, the chance of you being an obese child, teenager, and adult would probably be much higher than if your parents are, say, of a normal BMI. Am I correct in that? And how can we get a handle on this?
Okay, so when you look at obesity, it's very multifactorial. So, you know, people have been trying to figure out what leads individuals to obesity, what is the leading cause, is it a genetic factor, is it a psychological factor, is it a physiological factor, is it environmental, is it all of the above? And you're right. I mean, you tend to think that patients have a lineage of obesity in their family, and that very well might be the case, and there might be a gene that's associated with that. I think that they're still researching, and there's a lot of research out on that right now. But if your parents and your family tend to be on the obese side, or your grandparents, it has a lot to do with their action and their choices in food and what they present to their children as food. And so I think a lot of that has to do. But again, like I said, there's a psychological factor. Are we emotional eaters? Is there, we have stress in our life, the pandemic, we're trapped in our house, the lack of exercise. And we turn to food that are not very good for us because, one, they have us secrete that great dopamine in our brain that gives us that good feeling. And so once you do it once, once you do it twice, it becomes more of an addiction. So that could be a cause of it. Is it physiological? Do we have the diabetes and we have these up and down insulin spikes that cause us to crave food at different times, even though we just had a large carb meal? There's a lot of things. So that's why when I say it's multimodal and there's a lot of contributing factors that lead to obesity.
Okay. And also, if you could just speak to, if a person is obese, they have an increased BMI, and they get their obesity under control, either medically, diet, exercise, or if they end up with bariatric surgery. How does this turn around things like diabetes and hypertension and so on? Can that actually be brought under control with the work that is done at the Bariatric and Metabolic Center? And I know that the Bariatric and Metabolic Center isn't just about surgery. It's about nutrition. It's about exercise. It's about working with nutritionists and dietitians and so on. Speak a little bit about that, how a patient who has a high BMI is evaluated and then initially treated through the Institute.
So both at West Penn and at Jefferson, the Bariatric and Metabolic Institute is a comprehensive weight loss center. So but when I say comprehensive, we offer medical weight loss, and in medical weight loss, that goes into behavioral changes, nutritional, exercise, and then sometimes pharmacological agents if we need, if the patients need help. If they want to go that route, we work with them as best as we can. And we usually say those patients will do well if their BMI is anywhere from 28 to 35, let's say. Once their BMI gets above 35 and they start getting into the different classifications of obesity, then we start talking about surgical options for those patients. And those patients would be a candidate for either the sleeve gastrectomy or the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass. When you look at the different weight losses that happen with the sleeve gastrectomy versus the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass, in 1 year, the patients are seeing anywhere from 60 to 80% of their excess body weight loss. With that weight loss, as we all know, even when you lose a little bit of weight, your high blood pressure gets better. Your diabetes becomes more controllable, if not completely resolves. And we're seeing that roughly at 1 year, almost 60% resolution of your diabetes. Your arthritis gets better. A lot of these patients, once they get to a certain BMI, have severe obstructive sleep apnea. And once they lose that little bit of weight, their breathing becomes a whole lot better. When you talk about arthritis and bone pain in these patients, you're talking about a lot of pressure on that joint, whether it's the knees, the back, the hip. And these patients already have bone-on-bone disease. So once you take about 10 pounds off, it's literally like taking almost 25 pounds off that joint. So immediately patients will have the ability to walk better, the ability to stand up, the ability to get from the parking lot to your doctor, to the doctor's office without being short of breath. And believe it or not, after they leave the hospital, some of their glucoses are actually already controlled, which is very, very surprising. So that's why we say this is more of a metabolic surgery in those patients with diabetes.
And that also decreases the incidence of myocardial infarctions, heart attacks, strokes, and kidney disease, everything we've talked about, they're less of a risk. for those comorbidities if they get their obesity under control.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, when you talk about this going into play with the whole virus that we have, the COVID, the cell receptors that are there, are they're all looking into this new study about the ACE2 receptor. Yeah. And they're looking
okay.
at it.
Tunch, we're going to need to take a break, hard break here at the bottom of the hour. So this is Medical Frontiers. We'll be back after the break. Okay, we are back on Medical Frontiers. We're talking about obesity tonight and the influence of COVID-19 when you happen to contract the disease and also obese. Give us a call at 866-391-1020. We are here with Dr. Axel Hirley, who is a bariatric surgeon and intimately involved with the Bariatric and Metabolic Institute, Allegheny Health Network. And I believe we have a call coming in from Brad in Clarion. Brad, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Brad.
Waiting.
Okay.
Thanks for holding on.
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Anyway, when I retired, I was up to 280 pounds from working, and the last 5 years I drove truck, and I went to all these buffets and pigged out when I was driving, and I gained all that weight up to 280 pounds. We had to go on insulin, and so I got tired of sticking myself with a needle all the time, so I was into my doctor once, and I said, Doc, I'm getting off this insulin. He said, you're on it, you'll be on it. Well, I proved him wrong. I went down to 195, and since I lost that weight, I haven't had insulin for 3 years now. I was on insulin for about 7 years. So I did that my own weight loss program, and I'd done away with the carbs and the sweets and fat meats and stuff like that, and went down 38 around the waist, and I went down to 28, and I'm happy about my weight loss. And I do take a Gibbside pill every night for a bedtime, 5 milligram, and that my numbers are really good. I never go over 120. So it's really controlled, and I'm happy about it.
Well, that sounds like a real positive testimony about what diet can do, and you lost almost 100 pounds, which is amazing. And
yes.
that's a good story, is it not, Dr. If everybody could do that, it would be great, right?
Yeah, I mean, you consider yourself a very lucky person. I mean, 10% of the population is, or 10% of the people who try to do it on their own will become successful.
Actually, my insurance company was so proud of me and happy with me, they came up and done a video with me.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I mean, consider yourself lucky. I mean, it takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of self-control. There's a lot of temptation out there, and you were able to fight it off. Congratulations
game.
To you.
It's a head game.
Well, and also, it's a lifestyle change. Even if you have the bariatric surgery, isn't a true doctor. I mean, it's a lifestyle change. You have to. This is a lifelong struggle to keep your weight off and be healthier.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one thing that we strive on at the Bariatric and Metabolic Institute is close follow-up and keeping patients in control of what they do with our guidance. A lot of patients will get the surgery. They will do really well for that first year and then slowly fall back into their bad habits, whether it's eating a little bit here, eating late at night, choosing the wrong foods, and then by seeing them on a routine basis,
whether it's 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, we can actually keep them accountable and make sure that they're going in the right direction. And if they're not, we can nip it in the bud at that point, find out what they're doing wrong, put them back on the right track, and get them back to where they need to be.
And that's why it's so important to have that follow-up. You don't just do the surgery and say, well, we'll see if, you know, call me if you have any problems. You need to be seen regularly, and there's support with the folks at the Bariatric and Metabolic Institute. Say a little bit about the, you know, the dietitians, the nutritionists, the psychological support, that type of thing that is available through the Institute.
So that's kind of what puts us a little bit apart from all the other programs. We offer a very, very, like I said, a comprehensive support as well. And so we see our patients at 3, 6, 9, 12 months, and then yearly afterwards, and we're always available to them whenever they need us. With that, it comes with dietary and nutritional support at those meetings or at those appointments. Prior to surgery, they meet with the dietitian 3 or 4 times, depending on their needs. They meet with our psychiatrist there to figure out if there's any underlying diseases or psychological problems that could be controlled prior to surgery, like addiction. I mean, a lot of these patients will have not addiction to cigarettes or drinking. They'll have addiction to food. And so we need to get that under control before we do an operation. Otherwise, the operation won't be successful. And then the monthly support groups, which are a huge benefit to the patients, because there they can talk to different people. Our nutritionists are actually there at the support groups to talk to them. And so that support umbrella that the patient receives at our institute is so beneficial to them. And I think a lot of the programs in the area didn't have that type of network that we have. And so they would operate on these patients and basically leave the patients on their own. That's why there was this big stigmata about patients doing the operation and then gaining the weight back. And they would say, oh, I don't want to do that because I have a friend that had that done and they gained their weight back. But our patients tend to do really well. And again, that follow-up is so important, and that support umbrella that we provide is super important.
Absolutely. And what about the psychological support? You folks have psychologists and psychiatrists connected with the Metabolic Institute so that they can have those support physicians and psychologists and so on if that's necessary.
We do. Every one of our bariatric patients will see our AHN psychiatrist or psychologist. They will see them if afterwards there's diagnosed addiction problems to food. There's one particular problem that happens with bariatric patients is that they have what's called the transfer of addiction. So if they were addicted to food prior, they transfer that addiction to something else. And we keep a close eye on alcoholism or switching back to cigarette smoking. And so we have our psychiatrist and psychologist on board to help us with that. And if, you know, if there is other problems associated in their life, whether it's domestic abuse or whatever, they're always there for us to help us out.
Okay, what about insurance, health insurance coverage? Do you have to be at a certain BMI level for an insurance insurance company to cover treatment of obesity?
So there are still, unfortunately, some plans out there, and the majority of those plans are business associated. In other words, there are some people who work for different companies that would just not carry the bariatric coverage. Those, unfortunately, are the people that can't get it done. But a lot of the major carriers, the UPMC, the Highmark, the Aetna, the Cigna, the Gateway, the CMS services, all of them will cover bariatrics, and they will also cover, majority of them will cover weight management for those that don't qualify with a BMI greater than 35. So those patients that are lower than that, will have the opportunity to get nutritional counseling, behavioral counseling, meeting with our nurse practitioners, and to discuss a dietary plan, and just to keep them accountable on a monthly visit. And they're also, we come up with a plan for them for our pharmaceuticals as well to help them crave their appetites, and come up with a plan that's going to work for every individual. And a lot of the insurance companies will cover that.
That's great. Okay, we need to take a break. This is Medical Frontiers. Give us a call at 866-391-1020. We'll be back. Well, we're back on Medical Frontiers, sponsored by Allegheny Health Network. And we're talking this evening about obesity. The high incidence of obesity in this country, and especially in our Tri-County area, and also the influence of obesity if somebody who is obese contracts the COVID-19 virus. And we're very fortunate to have Dr. Tunch Axaherli with us this evening. He is a bariatric surgeon, intimately involved with the Bariatric and Metabolic Institute of Allegheny Health Network. So give us a call at 866-391-1020, and we would love to hear your story. We heard about an individual from Clarion who lost close to 100 pounds, and he actually got his blood pressure under control, et cetera, et cetera, and all his blood tests are basically normal since he did that after he retired as a truck driver. So tell us your story, 866-391-1020. And, Tunch, how about we talked about the enormity of the obesity problem in this country. Do we have enough medical personnel who specialize in obesity to take care of this problem in this country? Or do we need more physicians, more nurses, more nutritionists, dietitians, and so on to help with this problem? Or do we have enough?
So that's a great question. If we look at the amount of obesity in this country, it's enormous. We do roughly anywhere from 250,000 to 275,000 surgeries a year in this country. When you talk about a population that has obesity in this country at 90 million or so, that is very, very small number of surgeries that we're doing. So there's a lot of issues associated with that. Are people scared to get this done? Is there just not enough information out there for people? Is there not enough surgeons or programs that can help these people? I'm beginning to think that people are more scared of the surgery, and the education is not out there from primary care physicians to address the obesity. I think it's easier for them to throw a medication at diabetes and high blood pressure and throw a machine at sleep apnea rather than actually hitting the problem right at its source, which is the accumulation of fat in these individuals. And so it starts somewhere. It's got to start somewhere with education and research and getting the word out to everybody, saying that we have a safe way of doing it. There is help out there for individuals that need it. And then we can address the problem of whether or not there's enough individuals to help these people. But until that time comes where primary cares can actually reach out to individuals and not be afraid to talk to them about their weight, we need to tackle that issue there.
Okay. How about the patient who has been thinking about getting their obesity under control and making an appointment with the Bariatric and Metabolic Institute, but they say, oh, my goodness, we have this COVID-19 pandemic. I'm afraid to go see a physician now because of this virus. How can we allay the fears of individuals who feel that way, that whenever a new patient comes in to see you, all the precautions are made so that they will not contact the COVID-19?
So I tell everybody out there, if they want to get involved and come in and get evaluated for bariatrics, as of now, we hold all of our seminars via Zoom. So you can do the informational seminars right from home. If you would like, you can call our office and we can give you all that information. We send a lot of our new packets via email. And then for our new visits, those patients, we normally used to have a new person class that we would give to people. Those classes have been all switched over to Zoom as well. Your initial visit with us, we would like it to be in person. And we tend to have those patients, and they actually want to come in and meet us for the first time, see what they're getting themselves into. And then from there, we take all the precautions that is basically common sense with the social distancing, the masks, the face shields, the hand washing, the hand sanitizers in every room. I mean, Allegheny Health Network has done a tremendous job of complying to those rules that were put forth by the CDC. And so patients should feel very comfortable in coming to see us.
Okay. Well, we don't have any time for any more calls. I want to thank you very much, Doctor, for being with us this evening and sharing your expertise in fighting this disease called obesity. We thank you very much, okay?
And you have thank a you very much for having
me. And a good summer, and we'll do this again, okay?
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thank you again.
Okay, this is Medical Frontier saying good night, good health, and if you have an obesity problem, you know what to do. We'll be back in 1 week.